Okay, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hope everyone had a very nice lunch. Rested up to hear some more of the Word of God. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for this day of gathering. Thank you for the saints of God and these young people here. Who desire to walk in your truth. We ask, Lord, for your presence and your anointing. Lord, the word that brings life would come to us this afternoon. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, that's better. Praise the Lord. I have a few thoughts that I'd like to share this afternoon. In fact, Brother Bert was touching on them this morning.
That is Brother Bert.
And I would like to start in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy.
Capítulo 4,
verse 2.
Versículo 2.
Verse 3.
3.
And verse 4.
O
it says in verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Rebuke, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Okay, she's going to read it. Very good.
Ikaduhang Timoteo 4:2-3. Iwali ang pulong, ayaw paglangan sa tukma nga panahon, sa dilitukma nga panahon, pagsaway, pagbadlong, pagpangdatig, uban ang bukos na pagkamay ng kusun o pagtulunan.
Alright, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears.
3. Kaya ang panahon mo abot sa liha na sila, dili mo lakutay sa maayong pagtulunan, apang subay sa ilang kaugalingon ng mga pag-ibo, sila magpadaghan nga to sa ilang makaugalingon, o mga magtutulo nga nagabatul o nagtakul ng mga dalugan.
And verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
4. Og ilang gilingiyo wag ilang madulugan gikan sa kamatuoran og magadagop ngadto sa tinumutuko nga mga sugilanon.
Okay, I want to talk about doctrine. The doctrine.
Mga pagtulunan.
Brother Bert was talking about doctrine this morning.
Si Brother Bert, iyaki, suwali kay kanato ang kinikabang mensahe.
And doctrines means truth.
Ang pagtulunan, buti po sa buti, ni kamatuoran.
Teachings that have a foundation.
Pagtulunan nga doon na siya ikipasikaran.
But I want to also speak to you because it says not only the doctrine, but sound doctrine. And I'd like to read to you the definition of what it means to be sound. It means being healthy. Look at your own physical bodies, being healthy in your body, right? Figuratively or spiritually, it means to be uncorrupt. True. To be made whole.
Paghimo gayon nga kinatibukan.
There's also, you can say that it says it, soundness is of Christians whose opinions are free from any mixture of error.
Sa Kristohanon nga pagtulunan o sa Kinisya nga pagtulunan nga walay sambog ni bisan unsa man nga kahiwian.
So Paul is writing to Timothy here. That there is coming a time, or and this was in Paul's time, that they will not endure sound doctrine.
Kay nagaingon niya si Pablo na iyo sa iyahang panahon bisan pa hangtod karon nga at muabot niya ang panahon nga dili makapadayon ngadto sa unahan sa insakto ngayon nga pagtulunan.
So there is a doctrine that is not sound.
Mao na adunay mga pagtulunan nga dili na kaayo siya ingon nga naa diha ang matuod.
Or you could say it's corrupted.
Sa patuloran nga gihatagan na siya o gisambugan na siya o gamay nga dili maayo.
Or you could say truth mixed with a little error.
Sa patuloran nga gilihis niya gamay para nga mo iyang ibutangan gisambugan niya o dili matarong.
Thus making it a false doctrine.
Mao na nakapahimo kaniya nga dili na ingon nga maayo nga patulunan.
Now I want to also look at the verse.
Magpadayon ta pagtanaw sa mga bersikulo.
It's in Titus chapter 1.
Sa Tito kapitulo 1. Titus 1. Tito kapitulo 1.
We could start in verse 7.
Magasugod ta pagbasa diha sa bersikulo 7.
It says, for a bishop, or it should be overseer.
Nagayon din niya may tungod sa gitawag nga bishop or ansyano.
Must be blameless as the steward of God.
Nga kinahanglan siya nga walay sala o atubangan sa Dios.
Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, nor given to filthy lucre.
Verse 7.
And then verse 8 and 9. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers.
Versículo 8. Apan mahigugmaon sa pagka maabi-abihon, mahigugmaon sa maayong mga tao, maligdong, matarong, balaan, mapugnganon, nuybi, nagatupot na malibon sa matinumanon na pulong, ingon na siya kitunduan, aron na siya makahimo pinaagi sa maayong pagtulungan, sa pagdasi o pagdani sa mga malalison.
So we see Paul is saying that we need to preach sound doctrine.
Mao na nga si Pablo nagasulti nini nga kinahanglan ngayon kita magawali, magawali sa insakto nga patulunan.
And on that basis, I want to for us to look at a certain word this afternoon.
Okay na nga mao pasyana natong tanaw ang mga pila ka mga pulong nini kahapunon.
The word of justification.
Kanang pulong justification or pagka gimatarong gihingpit.
Justification.
Kanang pulong dihang sa English nga justification or gihingpit.
The Bible tells us that we are justified by faith, right?
Ang pulong sa Dios na ingon nga gihingpit kita pinagi sa pagtuo.
Amen. Justified by faith. Okay. Now justification.
Ang pulong
is found three times in your Bible.
Gimatarong nakaplagan sa balang kasulatan sa tulo ka mga kahulugan nini.
Okay. Give me just a second.
Iyang kita na umayo.
All right. Brother Bert, could I have the your pen, your marker? All right. The word justification, I want to give you the definition of it.
It's
important for us to understand what justification means. It is the act of God declaring men free from guilt and acceptable to Him.
Ang bote pasabot sa justification o pag-impit din, mao kini siya ang buhat sa Dios nga iyang yatag ato sa tao, diligikan sa tao.
It means acquittal.
Bote pasabot din nga naangko niya nga wala niya buhata.
I was sharing one day at the nursing home where we minister to the residents.
Samtang na siya yung pagituduhan ni ngato sa ilahang kapi.
And you know, a lot of people don't know what it means to be truly saved.
Daga kayo magkatayan ng kapalang dali kayo magkatawan nga huwag kayo makahibalo kung sa kin ang katulunan na o pagka-inungod sa pagkaniluwas.
I'll go another step further.
Iya pagkiling niya, tagal na ito pagtinaw na ini.
Especially being we're in the Philippines.
Labi na ka na ito sa Pilipinas.
That the Philippines, from what I had just recently heard, is 90% Catholic, right?
Nga, iya na nung 90% ang Katoliko.
And Catholics have no idea or are not taught even the doctrine of salvation.
Nga, sa pagtulunan ka nito, wala gani ipaduhon sa ang pagtulunan diha sa kaluwasan.
It's a false doctrine in which they teach. In fact, you could take the doctrines of the Catholic Church. They all have a little truth in it, but they mix it with error. Right? It's true. They believe in God because they take from the Bible there is a God that He had a Son, Jesus Christ. That there is a heaven and there's a hell. But they also mix it with the false doctrines of what those things truly are.
Apan subukay pamalandungon nga insakto na ta pero ilang gisambugan namo sa una og kanang dili na mao nga pagtulunan.
And many go off because they do not hear sound doctrine.
Mao lang nga daghan ang sunod niya na tumud kay wa pala gi kami kahibalo-on sa gitulunan ay nga pagtulunan.
Brother Bert drew the picture of the tabernacle.
Si Brother Bert nag hatag ka na ito ang ilustrasyon diha gikuha sa tabernakulo ni Moses.
And I want to give you a picture of sound doctrine.
Mauna nga gikan nini nga mga bulagway ang ihatag diha kaninyo kung sa ang kilutanay na pagtulunan.
You ever wonder why we preach and minister the tabernacle so much?
Nagwa pa mo ba tingalang anong sige mighisgot din niya matungo sa tabernakulo ni Moses?
Because it's a pattern of the Word of God.
To kay gikan nini mao magkuha ni mo ang kinatibuk-an na buong niya pasabot sa balang kasulatan.
And this pattern
will
always define true doctrine or sound doctrine from false doctrine.
Kanunay kini siya ang makatug-an kung maswito ka rin makakit-an mo unsa ang tinud-anay nga doktrina o dili.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You find out a lot of people that don't know who Jesus is have not been born again.
Imo makaplanan na daghang makatauhan wa gani sila ideya mahitungod kung kinsa si Jesus Kristo nga diha sa pagkatawo pag-usab.
Because they don't have justification in their life.
Tungod kay wala lagi sila makasinati niya nang gibag-os Ginoo.
And justification is the acceptance of God through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Ang pagkahinlo man gud mao magunay ang pag dawat ato ni Ginoo Jesus Kristo nga giuyona nato nga ang iyang dugo mo nagahinlo sa matag usa.
When I go out and I speak to people, usually by when I start talking about God, I find out for the most part of where they're at.
iyang makit-an yun na samtang kung magkabilir siya may tungod sa pulong sa Diyos siya matingalang yan suntihan siya na asama ng napita.
I would say, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior?
O niya, so kung siya papunta na sa mga taon siya, gidawat ba niyo si Jesucristo na yung personal na maluluwas?
Then they would say, yes.
Mingo siya, oo.
You, have you ever asked Catholics if they know Christ as their Savior? Right? And they'll say, yes. And I would say to them, if something happened to you right now, where would you be? They would say, well, I hope I will be in heaven. And it's usually an indication that the person does not is not born again. And you're going to find as you go out and you begin to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ that you need the Spirit of God to work with you. Because the Spirit of God is to lead men into all truth and to reprove the world of sin and righteousness. So a person, as Jesus said, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. So everything outside of the tabernacle is the world. And we know that the world is in darkness. And that every person that is outside in this realm is under the kingdom of Satan. It says in the book of Ephesians, when Paul was writing to the brethren at Ephesus, he said, you who were once dead in sin and trespasses, now has he quickened, made alive. Hallelujah. Now, I can say that with a certain place of authority. Not because I read it in a book. But I experienced it myself. One day I was under the power of Satan and his dominion. And then the day that the word of God came to me, I perceived it and received it. I became born again. Now the Bible tells us that first that no man comes to the Father except for first he draws him. We can't get any of the credit when someone comes to the Lord. We are just conduits for the Spirit of God to use as servants of God. To preach the word. To share the good news. That Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that power and authority can move when we realize we ourselves were chief sinners.
Hallelujah.
That then that we know what God did in us, that then we can reach out to others that they might be saved. Amen. Alright, this word justification. Acquittal, it is called. Acquittal. And all I can share with you is what happened one day a few weeks back in the nursing home. And we were ministering to the residents there, most of them elderly. And I said, there is, when you are born again, and you know that if today was your day that you were going to die, you can have an assurance that I may hope to go to heaven. No, that you can have assurance that you know. Brother Bert, if something happened to you right now, where do you know you're going to be?
Huh?
In heaven, by faith, right? Hope by faith, we're saved by hope. But I'm getting to a point here. Brother Mark, right?
Amen.
If you are walking in the truth, you're walking with the relationship of God, you will go to be with the Lord.
Amen.
I saw a picture like a courtroom. God is being the judge. It's appointed unto every man to die and then the judgment. Is that correct? And it also says, the scripture also says, and we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So we stand now. This is our judgment day.
Okay, huh?
You know, judgment day isn't a set day, but it's appointed that when man dies, he goes immediately to the judgment seat. And God is the judge. He's the one that has the final say, right? Of course, you know, there's a prosecutor. The one that says you're guilty. But there's also a defense. And that is Jesus Christ, who stands at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So the devil comes and he says, you're guilty because of sin. Right? The scripture says that the wages of sin is death, right? So the devil says, you're mine because of sin. But Jesus says, you're mine if you are a born-again believer and you walk in the truth. He says, you are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So justification
mao lang ang pagka pagkamatarong
is not on being good.
Dili tungod kay namatarong ka kay nagbinuutan.
It's not because I was a good person.
Dili tungod kay maayo pa ang pagkatao.
But because I called upon Jesus Christ. I believe that He is the Savior of the world. And I believe that He has saved me from my sins. In fact, when you read about justification, the way we are justified is by faith. Hallelujah. We're justified by faith. Now, would you say that is sound doctrine? Huh? Would you say that's sound doctrine?
Amen.
Okay. So we see here in the tabernacle that we enter into this place by faith, where Jesus said you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You know, all I can relate to you is the day I got saved. See, somewhere up in my thinking, I knew there was a God. I knew that He had a son, Jesus Christ. I knew that there was a heaven and I knew there was a hell. But there was nothing activated within here in the center of my being until God began to knock at the door of my heart. Do you know how He first knocked at the door of my heart? I came to realize I had a lot of sin in my life. I didn't know it at the time God was knocking at my heart. But I knew that my sins were so high there was no way my life was compatible with God's kingdom. But praise be to God. At that revelation and thought was God's responsibility to send someone to tell me of the good news of Jesus Christ. And all I could share with you is the day that I became born again. And this man came and was very sensitive in the Holy Spirit. And challenged me to know that God was real. Now, brethren, how many of you here were former Catholics? Oh, Rita. Oh, a lot of you weren't. Oh, okay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey, you know, this man said to me, he said, George, do you know that God is real? I started to nod my head and he said, no, no.
He says,
not in statues, not in church buildings. But He's a person as real as you and I are right here, right now. You know, the Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. So God's goodness came to me in making Him real to me. Hallelujah. That upon His presence coming to me. It brought me to my knees to repent. Hallelujah. And on that day, when I became born again, I entered into this picture. When I repented of my sins, received Christ as my Savior, God did something very special to me. He gave me His blood. His blood made the atonement for all my sins I had committed up to that day. And I was washed with His blood. And I came from out in this world here. I stepped into this tabernacle. And I became part of the Church of God. Amen. Now, Brother Bert was speaking this morning about the different divisions, even in the tabernacle, that men have made. Denominations. So, what is the true church? Huh? What is the true church? Sometimes God speaks very simple to me. You know, we would go places and I'd say, who is the true church? And we were in a particular meeting one time over in Africa. And we had the Lutherans, we had the Methodists, we had Catholics. We'd ask the question. Of course, they would all say, we are the true church. And I suppose if I asked you that question, you would probably say the same, right?
Huh?
But what are you basing it on? The basis in which you can stand is here in the Word of God. Because if you have become born again and have the blood of Jesus Christ, you're part of the true church. Hallelujah. God knows no division. That's why He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Which brings us to back to sound doctrine.
Right?
Alright, before I could say that, remember the courtroom scene, right? God is a judge. God is a judge looking at you. Maybe I could pick on you. And the devil says, she's mine because of sin. But Jesus looks upon your heart and your faith in Him and your walk with Him. And if you're seeking after God, walking with the presence of God, God the judge does not see your sin, He sees the blood. And He says, you're acquitted. You're justified because of your faith in God. Amen? That's a doctrinal truth. But there's also a doctrinal error. Have you ever heard the saying, once saved, always saved? How many of you have ever heard that? Once saved, always saved. Raise your hands. Once saved, always saved. A lot of you aren't raising your hands. You've never heard of it? You've heard it. There's different denominations that teach it. They say that now that you are born again, now that you accepted Christ in your life, no matter what you do, you can never lose that salvation. That is a false doctrine. Huh? There's a little truth mixed with a lie. Because if you are a born-again Christian, doing everything you can to walk in obedience to God, John says that you cannot commit sin. Hallelujah. Can Christians still sin?
Yes.
Can Christians still sin? Of course.
Yes.
Of course. We can sin and fall short of the glory of God. But that's why the word also says that if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen?
And if you confess your sins, He is just enabled to forgive your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, right? Hallelujah. Isn't that truth? But you know, God knows us very, very well. You know how well He knows us? He says the very hairs on our head are numbered. God knows our every thought. He knows every time that we fall short. But if you love God with all your heart and wanting to press into Him, though you may falter, you have an advocate with the Father to forgive your sins and to pick you up again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's a true doctrine. But here's where false doctrine comes in. Well, you were born again back so many years ago. Well, I can go out there and sin and then get down on my knees and ask God to forgive me. No. That is willfully mocking God and the very life that God has given you. Brother Bert was reading this morning in Hebrews chapter 6. And he read the scripture verse that says that one who was first enlightened, if they turn back. So the scripture verse is saying we can lose our salvation. And let's read it. It says in verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
Versículo 4, kay dili mahimong alang ni adto kinsa sa mga usa gihayagan na ug mitilaw na sa langit nga nagasa ug gihimo nga mga umaambit sa balaang espiritu.
And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come.
Versículo 5, ug mitilaw na sa maayo nga kulong sa Dios ug sa mga gahom sa kalibutan nga umaabot.
If they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame.
Kung sila mabiyak sa pagbago kanila pag-usam, ngadto sa paghinulsol, sa nakita na sila maglansang sa krus pag-usam, ngadto sa ilang kaugalingon sa anak sa Dios, ug magbutang kaniya sa dayag na kaulawan.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Let me explain.
Akong ihulagway diha kaninyo.
If I become born again, I shouldn't say if, as a son of God, I'm born again, not only received His blood at the brazen altar, but I walk in obedience to God, and I receive baptism. Water and Holy Spirit. Baptism into Christ. I'm going on a path and a journey that God has prepared for me as a son of God. And as I walk in obedience with God, and His nature becomes formed in me, if I turn back, I can reject God. And I can lose it. The scripture in Psalm 91, Psalm 91, verse 1, says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So shall means must. It means that as I walk with God, I must yield to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Do I make mistakes? Yes, I've made mistakes. But my desire is not to make a mistake. My desire is to be righteous.
Hallelujah.
You know, it says, what does it say? It says in Psalms that seven times the righteous falls, and He shall lift him up. Hallelujah. Because the devil will come to you, and when you fall, the first thing he wants to do is to condemn you.
See,
you're no Christian. You've sinned. You won't find atonement with God. But God, He sees our heart. See, we can't fool God, brother. If I sit here and I say, okay, I like sin, I'm going to go out and sin, and then I'm going to come home and I'm going to ask God for forgiveness of my sins. No. Not only have I sinned in whatever action I plan to do, but I rejected God's presence Himself that I choose to go my own way. So there is a plan and a purpose for God for each one of us. But I'm going to tell you something. As you're studying the Word of God, you young people, this is a time for you to understand the word of God that is coming to you in this hour. That is the message of the kingdom of God. That means that it's not something, I think Brother Bert was talking about it this morning, it's not like waiting till we go to heaven.
But
us opening up our hearts that heaven is inside of us. For when heaven comes into us, there should be a marked change. And you know, you're always going to be tested. You're always going to be tested. We're being tested in how we think and what decisions we make. And the words that we hear. It's important for you to pray that God gives you a spirit of discernment. You have to come to develop your relationship with God so that the Spirit of God can speak to you when error comes. Hallelujah. Jesus says, many will come in my name and say, Christ is here, or Christ is there. He says, believe it not, for lo, the kingdom of God is within you. But if you do not continue to grow with God, you become a stunted Christian.
It
means you have a deficit.
Not fully formed.
Hallelujah. You know, Paul writes and he says that you are to rightly divide the word of truth. You're to go to the word when you hear a word. And to those of you that are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of you should witness what is being spoken, whether it is of God or it is of another spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we are going to be challenged. You are going to be challenged. And the only way that you can overcome or be victorious in the challenge is by having a sure foundation. Before we came to the Philippines, my wife Susan had a dream. Now, my wife is a nurse. Her profession is a nurse. In the dream, she was going and getting vaccinations. Right? Vaccinations like against polio or things like that. You know, that's what vaccinations are. But in this dream, she came into a room, she said, with all the different Christians that we know. And she was bringing vaccinations that would vaccinate all of us against false doctrine. Isn't that good, Mark? Immunity against false doctrine. How many of us would like to have that vaccination?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
How many of us? Raise your hands if you do. I would like it.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want it now? Can I give it to you right now? Wow. Would you like it, young men? Would you like that vaccination right now? Would you? You don't know. That's all right. All the rest of you that do, I'm going to give it to you. Here it is. Right here. There's the vaccination. Right here. The tabernacle. The reality of the true doctrine of God. Hallelujah. Because if you get the true vaccination inside of you, there's no way you're going to get false doctrine. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said, study to show yourself approved. Now we have been coming here to this Bible school for what, 5 years? 5 years?
5 years.
And we've been vaccinating you. We've been vaccinating you with the word of truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're giving you a foundation.
Right?
A foundation of the truths that is in the word of God in the picture of the tabernacle.
Amen.
It teaches you against the false doctrine of denomination.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you even of the rudimentary teachings of salvation. And water baptism. We were in, again in Africa, where we were in a meeting and we began to teach the truths of the tabernacle. And we were teaching on water baptism. And we had people from various denominations. And one man says, well, you can have the sprinkling of the water, it doesn't need the immersion, as long as the heart is right. We said no. How? By the word of God. There is no place in the word of God that speaks of baptism by sprinkling. Right?
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's a revelation to some. In fact, this one gentleman that questioned us on it, he was a deacon in his church. And by the time that day of meetings was over, he was the one that came to the river to be water baptized.
Huh?
We have truth.
Amen.
And not just that water baptism by immersion, but the understanding of what true water baptism is. It is the outward act of a right conscience before God. That after I was born again, someone says, I need to be water baptized. Why? because I need to die the old man. Just being born again is not enough. That's why the second piece of furniture, the brazen laver, is death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. How strong is your water baptism? I was water baptized in the fall of 1980. 35 years ago. But do you know that baptism is working with me today? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. Paul's water baptism was a reality to him every day of his life. And how about you? Or you? Or you? How real is it of your death, burial, and resurrection? Oh yes. I buried the old man. But he keeps wanting to rise up. That old man wants to rise up in me. And I have to crucify it. I have to put it to death. That Christ would be formed within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's true doctrine. Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whether it's being born again or doing the act of water baptism, the real reality, and it must be real with you and with me. Hallelujah. Let us go another step. Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Huh?
Man baptizes you in water. Is it man that baptizes you in the Holy Ghost? Let me ask these men over here. Who baptizes you in the Holy Ghost? Any of you know? Huh? No, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus who baptizes you in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. And how do we know that? Go back to the Word of God.
It
says, what man of you, if you asked for your father for a piece of bread, would he give you a stone? Or if you came to your father and you said, Father, I want an egg, would he give you a serpent? And so the scripture says, being your fathers are evil, they give you good things. How much more will your father give of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Amen. That's why it says, knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. Hallelujah. Whoever asks will receive. Hallelujah. So it's not man coming and baptize me, it's Jesus. When I open my heart up to God.
Hallelujah.
And when I or you were filled with the Holy Spirit, what was the Holy Spirit's purpose? Was it to give you goosebumps? Is it so you could tell everybody you can speak in tongues? No. You can speak in tongues, and you will if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is one to lead you and guide you into all truth. And the Holy Spirit's job is to make you holy. Hallelujah. Here's another thing. If what I'm sharing with you is true, you can find that truth in the tabernacle.
Huh?
So, if I am water baptized, die the old man, and now I begin to walk in resurrection life, and I'm filled with the Spirit, it's the Spirit's job then to lead me into Christ. Hallelujah. That's where over here, when Brother Bert was ministering this morning, and he talked about a church that just preaches salvation, and then the Pentecostal church that teaches not only a water baptism but baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they stop. Hallelujah. I can have the Holy Spirit within me, but I may not have the Holy Spirit in my soul. I need to open up my mind, my emotions, my will and desires to God. Paul said it this way. He says, "Know you not that your temples, your bodies, are the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Huh? Therefore, we are bought with a price. What price are we bought with? The blood.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That means that we are no longer our own. Paul put it this way. He says, "I am a bond slave to Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. With that type of mentality, a kingdom mentality, a Christ-like mentality, what do you think you're going to get? You're going to get Christ. You're going to get Christ. Hallelujah. But we are a free will agent. We can choose whether we want life or the world or darkness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brethren, I just encourage you this day. You are all young. And God is giving each one of you a most unique opportunity. And I also want to tell you something else before. I've seen some of you get up and know the teachings of the tabernacle. And I see it being sown in some of your hearts. And some of you that are new in this school, I encourage you to read the pattern.
libro sa pagkaulugan o pattern
that lays down the truths of the kingdom of God.
Unya magsugod ka pagkwinta mahitungod sa kaharian sa Dios.
I want you to read it and study it.
Basahan kini niya, istudyuhin niyo.
Meditate on it.
Imo kini pamalandungan.
Chew it up with inside of you.
Unya
because you are being given an opportunity in this hour to walk in truth.
Amen.
In the book of Revelation, chapter
3,
it says that the last church age is the Laodicean church age. It's the church at its lowest strength. And it's far from God. God is giving you all an opportunity to overcome the Laodicean church age and to understand why God called you as you believed on Him. He's given you now power to become sons of God. John chapter 1. And what that scripture verse means, He's now given you the power to become His children.
Technon.
Right here. Once we came through that gate, He's given us the power as children of God. But His full intent, and it's in Romans chapter 8, is that we would come to full maturity. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Greek word for sons in Romans 8 is the huios, or the mature sons of God.
Hallelujah.
So I leave it with that, and I pray that God will open your ears and your hearts, and that you be good Bible students. Study the Word. Come to understand this truth of the tabernacle. Come to understand the truths that are in body, soul, and spirit. And you will grow. And you will mature. And not only that, with this sure foundation, we are going to be able to rightly discern the word of truth. And you may not, if something comes that's false, go to God. Don't swallow it if you don't believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you.